recently, this morning, I and my wife.
This is my history of the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electron. Praise the Lord. Can you tell me how many were born as a church baby here? Ooh, wow. Then how many are raised as a church kid? Oh, wow. And how many were raised as a full-timer's kid? Oh, the parents, one of the parents, the full-time servant. Okay, I can tell you, I'm all three. And I'm very old. So you can see, I was born into a full-time serving father. In Taipei, so I grew up all these many years, and so I try to relate with you, because I'm kind of age-wise, really, too many years away from you, but I've been young before. My father, he met Brother Watchman Nee when he was in Shanghai studying theology, and he was really attracted by this way, so he turned this way. And the Lord's sovereignty brought him to Taiwan, and 3 years before the communists took over. So he just loved the Lord and has a job. And he met my mom, they get married, and so he quit a job to serve the Lord full time. Then I was just born into this family. And my father really, really, really loved the Lord. He said he's a slave of God. Can anyone tell me what's the difference between slave of God versus servant of God? Think about it. Oh.
A slave doesn't have any freedom.
You got it. Excellent. If you're a servant, you don't like your employee. The master, you can quit. You can go away, find another job. But my father said he's a slave of God. So he has no freedom. The Lord owns his life. Actually, we were all slaves of God. My father, he said he's a slave of God. So children of the slave, me and my brothers, we're all slaves of God. We are slaves. The children of the slave are still slaves. So that's how I grew up. He really loved the Lord, so he will go to anywhere where there's a need. Anytime, anywhere. So when he came back from the co-workers' meeting, he would say, we're going to move. We're going to move in a few days. Few days means really few. One time he told me, we're going to move to a northern part of Taiwan, but you have to go first because you have to take an exam. Because at that time, we go to different school, you have to pass exams. If you do really poor, then you don't have any school to go to. So one day, he just told me like a couple of days. So, okay, now you're going. At midnight, he sent me to a train. And that took me all night to the northern part of island. Now, today, you probably drive 3 hours. But at that time, it took a long time. I was by myself. I was in junior high. I was had 1 month away. Well, not 1 month. One semester away from graduation. But my father has to move, so I have to take the exam. So I went. I remember, it was so dark. And the train has blown the whistle, right? Woo! It's even till today, I can still feel like hear that sound. Oh, there I was, just in the train. All night, didn't sleep, and then right there. And next day, I took the exam. And I thought, well, no problem. I was very good. My math is very good. Well, did very poorly in that exam. So bad. I got 8 points out of 100. And that was so embarrassing. So embarrassing. And so school said, you cannot be our student. But you're already here, so you're allowed to audit. That means I don't have a record. I still have to go back to my original school. Well, as a child, I just studied and go along. And one day, one of my science teachers said, you're a very good student. How come you did so poorly in your exam? Then later, I find out the teacher gave the student a review of the exam before the exam. You know, it was very difficult. And those questions, if you just take it without preparation, and it's very difficult to start with. That's why I was feeling so poorly. But the teacher said, now, we'll let you become our student so you can graduate from here. So I was happy. You know, that school was not the best school in the area. It was second best. And you know what? They was very happy that they made the decision. Because 1 month later, I graduated from that junior high. And we all have to take next level to get into high school. Guess what? I did a number 4 in the whole region. Wow. And I was because that's the second best school. So I was the best of that school. So the Lord really take care of us, take care of me and my father. So he will not feel too bad for me. And then I was happy at that school because, you know, the high school is very big. So, of course, in the class, I was number 1, so I'm a leader and everything. Well, after a semester over, 2 weeks into the second semester, my father said, we have to move again. Oh, wow. What a life of living as an altar in the tent. He's a consecrated person. And we as the kids, no choice. Okay, really, we have no complaint. I don't even know that I can complain. So we have to move. But you think the school will say, hey, come in. No. Number 1, they already started 2 weeks. Too late. Then what can we do? So the saints look around. We were moving into a city called Zhanghua, which is, it's not too small, but it's smaller than Taichung, a central part. So, there's a corporate entrance exam for all the transferring students. You guys can go take the exam. So me and my two other brothers, so we took the exam. Guess what? I got a number one. I can't believe it. Okay, so I was admitted to the best high school in Taichung. So just the Lord's leading, we end up just commute. Every day, just commute. And in my commute, I really learned a lot. You know, my mom said, you have to go to school, and then go from my home, I could walk to the train. And then from the train, we arrive to another the city where the school is. Then we have all lined up and walk to the school. So I learned how to walk, exercise. The first day, I have to get up. I have to leave home 6:20. Then I can walk to the train station. And next day, or a few days later, say, oh, I can sleep one more minute so I can walk faster. And then I keep doing this. I walk so fast. I chase the train. Because at that time, the train just moved without closing the door. So I just, to the end, I run, and the train start moving, jump onto the train, then go. You know, that really shows me that we, as long as we exercise, practice, we can really move, we can do more. And this, when I went to college, I remember the teacher said, everybody just run around, because the first few minutes the teacher wants to rest or something. Everybody ran around the,
PE class,
like PE. So I just run, and I just run, and I feel, where's everybody? I'm so lonely. Oh, everyone is way behind me. I was so fast. I still, like, I chased the train. But all the other students, they study so hard in order to get into college. They're all very weak. Ah. So that's it. That I learned that if you exercise, doing a long time, you can improve, no matter what, your original condition. Yeah. Where did I go? My father, he served the Lord. We serve the Lord. And then you may want to ask me. Oh, I touched that, sorry. I actually don't need this. I'm a very loud person.
No, you're good.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So I went to a junior high school conference, just like you. Only, as it was my first one when I was in high school. At that conference, we all touched the Lord. I give myself to the Lord like fire. We pray and we give ourselves to the Lord and we sing this song. I said, Lord, if I love you, it is now. Yeah. So from then on, my life changed. Changed to what? We started to read more, read the Word of God more. We pray more and we preach the gospel. How do we preach the gospel? I said, here's the step. Go preach the gospel at the entrance of the school. So, okay. Everybody come in and hand this gospel tract. I don't know how many people have that experience. At the beginning was, you know, a little bit timid. But once you do a few, then it was okay. Do you think that's do I have any result of that? When people think, oh, you're such a strange person. You preach the gospel? Well, it's very interesting. I did that in high school. I did that in college. each time is when people was watching. Oh, okay, thank you. And what do they think about me? I don't know. But then when they have to select the class leader, they think, yeah, you're the one. So two times in high school, in college, I was all selected as the class leader just because they don't know me at the beginning, but they think, well, you're a very brave person. So just give me to be the leader. And was it hard? I think it may be hard to our natural ability. I'm a very shy person. But the Lord just loves us so much. We want to do this for the Lord. And I remember in high school, I have a friend. We rode a train together. And after that, we went to the college together in the class. And so we have a gospel meeting. I invited him. Want to go to this meeting? No, I'm not interested. All this year, not interested. But she kind of have a feel so bad. She'll find a substitute for her. But she said, I have a friend. I think she will be willing to go. So, okay. So I invited that person to the gospel meeting. And that person I haven't met for 45 years, ever since last time I saw her. She got saved. And she lived the church life in another city. She came to the U.S. She's in New York. She's I don't know, I tell you the name, you probably don't know, but her husband is one of the serving brothers in church in New York now. Yeah. Her name is what?
Cindy.
Cindy. Xu Di Xiong. Yeah. So it's amazing how the Lord will lead a person. We preach the gospel, we send out the gospel tract. You don't know what the Lord will do. But if I just withhold myself, no, I'm too shy. No, I cannot do it. The Lord didn't ask me to do anything. Like this example I give it to you. It's Lord's mercy, but he needs me to preach the gospel. And not necessarily to her, to another person. And she's the substitute. But Lord's mercy reached her. And last year, when I saw her in the church in New York the first time,
sorry to do this. If you have a Honda Pilot New Jersey plate PDS69G, you're blocking somebody who needs to go, who needs to leave now. So please remove the car. Sorry.
Amen. Where was I? The last year I met this sister. I saw that she's in the church life in such a way to serve the Lord. I am just amazed. It's the Lord's doing.
Right.
And I just cooperate with the Lord.
Amen.
Amazing. And I also want to say, ever since I consecrate myself, I have a desire to give myself and to serve the Lord like my father. It's not have my choice. So I thought, where is the place I need the gospel the most? My heart is big. So, oh, maybe Africa. So, okay. So the Lord gave me this willingness to learn to... willingness to suffer. So I say, oh, maybe in Africa you live in the hut, on the floor. So I learned how to sleep on the floor. I really did. And even today I haven't even reached Africa. I haven't been there. But this practice really benefited me. I can sleep anywhere. any place, no problem. It's all better than the floor. Like last night, it was a wonderful bed. I slept very well. So, also, I wanted to share something about the Word. We all were encouraged to read the Bible and memorize the verses. And I was too. I memorized the verses. You know, one of this day, the Word that you memorize will be your help. Because you have a deposit in you. And I remember, because I live in California, I worked before I retired. And my job was like 2 hours drive one way. It's a long time. But I just feel like if we open our home and people will come, that's a wonderful way we can serve and bring the people to the Lord. In comparison, it's easier than go out to, you know, reach to the people you don't know, and I don't know the result. Okay, so I was more than willing to open my home. So I remember one night, very late, how late? 2 a.m. I still preparing something for the next day. And it's very dark. So I look at the window, the reflecting of me. I talk to myself, what are you doing here? What time is it? And all of a sudden, one verse came out that I remembered. It just came out. It's 1 Peter 1:8. You haven't seen him, but you love him. How did that go in English? Because I kind of memorized in Chinese. But anyway, this verse just came up. And it's just like the Lord gave me this word. And, you know, most of the time, if we have the assurance, we have the word from the Lord, you're willing to do anything because the Lord told you, right? So the Lord gave me that verse. I was just joyful. Oh, I'm very happy to do anything. And so even I have to drive this long distance and I rush back to, you know, open our home, no problem. Actually, it's very joyful. Full of joy and glory. And this verse is I remember when I was in my youth. Just. So if you have the word deposit richly in you, it will come to be your instant help.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did I miss anything? Well, maybe I will let my husband share. And then if I remember anything, I will share.
Amen.
Well, I did not grow up as a church kid, actually. I was saved when I was in college. And so I was very happy to have a church kid as my wife. Because she made up all my lacking in the early part of experience. But nevertheless, although I was not growing up the church life, but I gave a human being, I do have his spirit.
Amen.
That spirit in me is always longing for something. So even when I was in junior high, I already began to wonder about what's the meaning of human life, where the universe coming from. I also grew up in the countryside, and actually the countryside at that time, no running water, no electricity, and the night is dark. But darkness does have one benefit. There's no called the light pollution. That means I can see the stars very, very clearly. And in the summer night, you look at the stars, you sort of feel like you almost can reach it. I don't know if you ever experienced that. And so you always wonder about these things. So make a long story short, I was very much into philosophy and a lot of things just to find out what all this is about. Of course, I really satisfactorily find a reason for it, although philosophy and among many other things did give partial answer, so to speak. They look at the one side, seems to be right, but then look at the other side, well, doesn't reconcile it together. Give you some examples. You know, this about the nature of the human being, whether human being by its nature is good or evil. This great philosophical debate. Well, yes, people look at the human being, a lot of good things, good nature. So says, well, born good. It's later on somehow got polluted. Well, there's some reason to it. On the other side is, well, even babies sometimes have this evil intention, greedy. Even my, how old is Amelia? 7 months?
9 months.
9 months now. But every time I would give her some, say, a piece of bread in me, I would break up something, you know, I'll give her a piece. You know what? She always reached for the bigger one. I'll give her, no, she will go to get the bigger one. And then I break it up, and then it's still going after the bigger one. Anyway, you know, all these things. And then there's the other side. But you never can put these things together. And another thing is that when I grew slightly older, perhaps getting into high school, there's a debate about whether human beings are completely materialistic. Everything just manifestation of the physical side. Or it's just because so-called we have a mind that makes everything real. You heard about this sort of thing. If a tree fell in the forest, if nobody noticed it, heard it, did the tree really fell? You know, things like this. Whether everything, because whatever outside, unless it's subjective to you, you know, by your mind, by your perception, physically may be there, but to you, it's not existent. So things like this. And then, so all these things puzzles me. Certainly, this question about where the universe coming from, you know, what's the origin of the human being? Of course, I know about the evolution, all these things, but none of these are very satisfactory. And not the least is this, after I die, what happened to me? It just all disappeared? Just a fire got extinguished? Or there's something more to the human life? Is there really a soul? There's really something after life? I have no answer. But these things important to me. Of course, you know, I do my daily things, I may forget about it. But then, you know, when you pass through a tomb, a graveyard, and somebody died, and then it still come to me, what happened to this person? You see a tomb there, are this person still there? Or just a set of bones and that's it? Never got an answer. But nevertheless, those things still bothers me. Of course, later on, I realized that in our human heart, in our human being, there's a spirit, and then the Lord himself put eternity in our hearts. We think about these things. We may not have an answer, but nevertheless, there's a feeling there, there's a longing there, there's something wandering about there, and then if that thing is not really got a satisfactory, you're always going to bother you. So only in this kind of a situation, actually also get quite a bit of religion, Buddhism, Christianity, Catholicism, among many others. Of course, you know, I read a book. Occasionally, I go to some institutions, meetings, and so forth. But I have to say, none of these give me any satisfactory answer. Only until one day, after I got into college, one of my roommates, first year I lived in the dorm, and then one of my roommates, he's a Christian, and then he has the morning watch at that time, not called the morning revival, just with another brother on the third floor. Anyway, so, you know, after a period of time, I went to have this morning time with them. And their meeting was very simple, just three of us. And then they just sang some hymns and read some Bible verses. And then actually, And that's about it. They talk about it a bit. But some of these verses at that time began to touch me. I remember very distinctly, this is about Psalm 8. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name on all the earth.
Amen.
And so forth. And then later on, it says that I look at the heavens you stretch and the stars you form, and what is man that you visit him? What is man you care for him? And not only that, it says you make all these, subjected to all these other things, the cattle and so forth, everything subject unto him. You give him glory and honor.
Amen.
And so forth. Because, human being, as you can see, I'm probably a bit of a philosophical person. And then, if you think about yourself, and yesterday, Peter gave you this picture. Another side is this sort of the power of 10. Have you ever heard of this power of 10? The power of 10 means that you say like 10 meters away, you look at something. Then, 100 meters away? And then power of 10, keep moving out. Eventually, the earth becomes just a green, blue sphere. And get it further out, it becomes one dot. Get it further out, earth disappeared because you're on the scale of the galaxy. And then you move up further and our galaxy gets very small. So if you realize this, especially you look at the end in here, you go step away, the end almost disappeared. So on the one hand, I realize human being, even this scale, is completely insignificant. Completely insignificant. What is man? Less than a speckle, a dust. Even less than that. Just like we look at an ant, so small. And then you look at you go to the rooftop to look at the ant, probably not easy to see it. But on the other hand, in our daily life, I'm the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me. 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 Right?
Amen.
I am the only existence. Everything else should be for my benefit. This kind of contradictory feelings, it's very interesting. But in that verse it says, what is man? Yes, what is man? You look at the universe. Before it says stretch, right? The stars, the heavens. That's God did, God's work. And then in this huge, enormous, unimaginable large universe, there's a man, insignificant. So he says, what is man? In terms of space, it's small. In terms of time, how long, how many years the universe existed, the science tell you? At least 5 billion years. And how long is our time span?
About 70.
On the average, maybe 70, 80 years. Very few people in these days live beyond 120. In that scale, it's what is man, in time, in space. But yet, it says, this, the creator of the whole universe, visited, care for him. Not only that, bestow on them glory and honor, subjected everything under their feet, for they have the dominion. So this really, anyway, you can imagine, my feeling. I just are very touched by this. I just feel very good about it. So after that first meeting, the brother asked me, how do you feel? I said, I feel pretty good. Do you want to come again? I said, sure. And since that first meeting until this day, that's more than 50 years now, I never stopped the meeting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of course, that's just the beginning. Very, you may say, sentimental, superficial, but nevertheless, that's an entrance. Later on, I began to read the Word, and then really opened my eyes. All my these irreconcilable different thoughts about the philosophical, all these things, it turned out what? All the solution, perfect solution, is in the Bible. Just those two examples I just shared with you is human nature fundamentally good or evil? What do you say?
Both.
Yeah. How do you know it's both?
Romans 7.
Huh?
It's Romans 7 talks about the law.
Very good. Romans 7 tells you where the good coming from, where the evil coming from. Actually, more than that, and then not only in us, there's different laws, and then also not only that, it tell you its nature. Romans 8 tell you it's a solution. To recognize the problem is one thing. To actually get an effective, real solution is another. And how about this matter, whether we are materialistic or idealistic? You, what's the answer?
Materialistic or idealistic?
Yeah?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Actually, we human being is not only materialistic, not only idealistic, but we have to actually spirit, soul, and the body. We're a tripartite being. We do have a materialistic physical body. But we also have an idealistic of soul, of mind, emotion, will. And we also have a spirit. And if put these three things together, that describes the reality of a human being. All this is the Bible. And the philosophers debate this for ages, and still debating. But the Bible give me a satisfactory, perfect solution. Isn't that true? We human beings, we do have a physical body, and that's important. We do have a mind, so these two is not sort of either or, but both. Not only that, actually we also have a spirit. That complete our being. That's complete our experience. Just, and many other things. Just this, begin to really gradually to understand the Bible. I say, all the wisdom is in the Bible.
Amen.
All the solution is in the Bible.
Amen.
And also the other thing is this, I got saved. As I say, even in high school, I did not quite understand a lot of passages. But I got saved. Spirit come into me.
Amen.
And as in 1 Corinthians says that, to really know the Bible, the soulish man cannot understand the spiritual things.
Right.
But then we have regenerated the spirit. And the spirit will reveal to us. And we not only know, we even can know the deep things of God, which is revealed in the Bible. So that's my beginning. And after that, the word really attracted me. Many times I have this kind of description. Before I got to regenerate, really have the capability understand the Bible in the actually fundamental way rather than the superficial way, is that I read the Bible, it seems like every sentence I have a question mark. Why is this? Why is that? How is this? How is that? Things like that. But after I got saved, my spirit got regenerated, and my inward being got enlightened, and every sentence ended with exclamation mark. Yes, that's the way it should be. And somehow we got an intuition. The word almost becomes self-evident. That's the way it ought to be. You know what the self-evident means? That it's obvious to you, but it's very hard to explain for a reason. In other words, the word is beyond, I don't need the reason anymore. Somehow I just understand that's the way it ought to be. Intuitively, that's the right thing. Anyway, that's the nature of the word, is that in spirit, it takes you into another realm. But if you're purely in the mind, you will be in another domain. It's another way. So I really love the word. So I still remember the first meeting, a big meeting, I say, went to the Lord's Day morning. They were on the conference. And then afterwards, this brother asked me, how do you feel? I said, well, a lot of things I don't understand. Because they talk about the Aaron, talk about the anointing on the head, and as the dew on Herman, you know, that was in Taiwan. Herman means, Heyman means black door. You say, why this dew has to be on the black door, you know? And all this ointment, you know, put on the head, it wouldn't that be a very sticky and, you know, and why it flow from the head to the skirts? And I said, I don't understand any of this. He said, oh, this is in the Bible, that's in the Old Testament, and he explained to me. So then I know, well, in order for me to be able to understand in the meeting, I have to read the Bible.
Amen.
So that day I bought my first Bible. I devoured it. The reason is that I say I have to read all through once so that I know all the historical facts.
Right.
So that the next time when you say something, I have a background, I understand, oh, now this black is not a black door. It's actually the name of a mountain and so forth. So that I can understand it better in the meeting. So a lot of students at the time, you're prepared for the exam and so forth. I was burned the midnight oil reading the Bible because I really want to get through very quickly. And later on, of course, you know, how many of you have read through the Bible once? Okay, not many. How about read through the New Testament once? Ah, many more, very good. Now, for those of you who haven't read through the New Testament once, I can tell you, you can read through in one day. You can read through in one day. This might be a sidetrack, let me testify to you. We in Riverside, we actually, you know, one Saturday in the morning, we say, if you want to read through the Bible once, come together. 7 o'clock, you come. And then we just read, you know, we break up into a group of five. Group five. Uh-huh. And then each one read 5 verses. Just take turn. Keep reading. Uh-huh. From Matthew 1:1. And then by the night because that's the first time, okay, by about 9 o'clock or so in the evening, we almost finished the whole thing. Because that's the first time, we took too many breaks. Lunch was too long. Lunch time has been long. So actually we said, okay, the next day after Lord's Day morning meeting, the next day, Lord's Day, we'll finish it. And then we took about another hour and a half. We finished the New Testament. And then later on, a brother and I, we went to Houston, visited some brothers in Rice University. And then there's a brother, actually from New Jersey. And then we asked him, now you come to Rice University for 4 years. Have you read through the New Testament once? He said, haven't. Do you want to read through the New Testament before your graduation? He said, yes. They only have 3 weeks before they graduate. So we just told them, okay, you gather together some saints. Well, this family were there. And this family will prepare the meal for you. And then you will read through, before you graduate, you'll read through the New Testament once. So they did. We just tell them how to do it, 7 o'clock. And then by 8, you have a 20-minute breakfast. That's enough time, right, for breakfast. And then you read. And then just keep rotating. And the lunch hour, 30 minutes lunch. Keep reading. And then the dinner time, 30 minutes dinner. Keep reading. By 10 o'clock, it's done. Don't you want to do that? Some of you, I hope at least all of you are going to at least finish the New Testament before you graduate from high school, right?
Amen.
You only have one day you can get it done. How about Old Testament? Old Testament will take you a bit longer. Because number one is that it's longer. Number two, it's harder to read. Got too many unfamiliar names. You have to go through that. And the certain portions, it may not be so, sublime if you don't understand it. A lot of histories, you know, Genesis is easy. You know, certain parts you see. But nevertheless, you can still finish in 4 days. So in a week, you can read through the entire Bible once, at least. Anyway, that's a side point. As encouragement, because we're on the God's Word, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's very good for you to know the word. Yeah. Of course, read the word has many different ways. What I just described is called a speed reading. There's a topic reading, there's prayer reading, and so forth and so on. But the word, the Bible tells us, get the word in you richly. You richly supply you. Yeah. And yesterday we talked about the Logos and the Rhema. My wife's testimony about, what she was doing, it was that she was preparing for the Friday night's love feast. Many times she had to work very long and so forth. But then you see, but most people, probably you don't want to do it. If someone is doing it, if you work so long, so hard, and then 2 a.m. you're still working on that, knowing that, and all these things, tomorrow morning you still have to go to work at 6 o'clock. How do you feel? If you don't complain, that's pretty good already. But then the thing is this, when the Logos becomes Rhema, that's life, that's spirit. So the word Logos that she remembered, Paul says that we love him, right? We don't see him, but we love him because we believe of the faith that in us we have exultant joy, full of glory. That's a verse to you. That's Logos. But when the Logos become Rhema, that becomes instant, speaking to you. And then that touches you something. That gives you life. That enlivens you. So this is, we need to have the Logos in us. And then the Logos has to become Rhema. And then become effective on you. Anyway, I have a little bit more to say about this later on. Is this matter of the Logos and the Rhema. What time is it? Because my watch is still using the...
5 to 10,
okay. We try to have a first session finish about 10:15, have a half an hour break, then continue. Next session is the most the... I wouldn't call it Q. Q is that question is okay. The A is... we'll probably call it response, okay, or maybe our testimony. We cannot say our answer is the answer. Maybe just respond. If you have any question, you can write it down. Okay, come to this. If you have your Bible, maybe you can turn to Hebrews chapter 1. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, if you got it, I'll read it, and then I'll comment on this, and later on, I will ask you to read a footnote, okay? Okay, very good. You will have your book. Wow, everybody bought this gold bar. That's wonderful. Okay, I'll read first the three verses. God, having spoken of old in many portions and many ways to the fathers in the prophets, hath the last of these days spoken to us in the Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he made the universe, who, being the effulgence of his glory and the impress of his substance, and upholding and bearing all things by the word of his power, having made the purification of sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. What our comment on this is this. Our God is living, mainly manifested through his speaking God. Amen. So he says our God has spoken, having spoken in old times, and then that's through the prophets, to the fathers, the last of these days, spoken from his Son, that is Christ Jesus himself. So you'll know this, the verse in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14 says, the Word became flesh. You know, tabernacle among us, full of grace and reality and so forth. So that, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word is the Logos. And here, it says the following, and especially verse 3, and the who, that is, this the Lord Christ himself, and then upholding and the bearing all things by the word of his power. And this word here is Rhema, is the instant speaking. The Logos, of course, is Christ. We know that this word is Christ. Tabernacle as God incarnate in the flesh. And in here, he created the whole universe, and that's the end of it. You know, he says through him, the verse says through whom also he made the universe. That is in God himself, he made the universe by what? By his speaking. When he says it was, he command, it stood. That's in Psalm. Okay. And so you can see God and the Word is in a way is inseparable. But there's a logos side, there's a rhema side. Rhema side, you may say, is the constant supplying, upholding it, bearing it, maintaining it, constantly infuse the fresh energy of the refueling it. It's constant current flowing, keep coming, and so that this whole universe can continue. You know, yesterday you say, well, who can juggle how many balls in your hand? Huh? I can juggle 3. Okay? You know, I can juggle. You know, 2 hands, I can probably do 4, and that's about it. Okay? But indeed, you know, the Lord actually, by his speaking, maintain you, uphold you. So this means that we need to get the word, the logos into us. And then every day these logos will instantly, in a particular situation, you will make you alive. Just like my wife's testimony. The word, the logos, she got it into her perhaps when she was in junior high or high school. But since when she was what? About 50 already, right? Mm-hmm. And then, all of a sudden, in that time, the logos became rhema to her and give her life, give her the energy. Not only she was not complaining, she was full of joy, full of glory. That's the thing. So here is that the word, the rhema here, is upholding it, bearing it, keep it going. Okay? And then, if you have this, go to this verse 3, bearing all the things by the word, and then you look at the notes in there, footnote. Verse 3, note 2. I'll read it to you. The Greek word that denotes the instant word in here. The Son, that is previous verses, upholds and bears all things, not by his work, but by his instant word. That is, after the creation, how he keep this whole universe going. After he save us in a way, even our salvation is by, through the logos, become the rhema. For that, we got saved. And how, after we got saved, how is he constantly still supplying us, upholding us, bearing us in all the situations through the thick and the thin and so forth, so on, is by his instant speaking. But in speaking is not divorced from the constant word. Always using the constant word applied to us in all our situations. In creation, all things came into being through him as the word. The reference here is John 1:1, and look at there, it's logos, the Greek word. The universe has been framed by the word of God. The whole universe is framed this way. That's in 11:3. Later on, we can see that. He spoke, and it was. He commanded, and it stood. This is in Psalm 33:9. In salvation, we are saved through his word. In John 5 and so forth, Romans, and then it's through the word, incorrupt the seed. And Peter also, we got saved. And it is by his word and his healing power is realized. This is John 4. If you believe this word, you got to heal.
Amen.
He also, it is through his word, for his authority, his power is exercised. This is in Matthew 8. This is a centurion asked him, do you believe in this word? You believe in this word? You got to heal. And then it is by his word that his healing power is realized. And then John here, this book says that God speaks in the Son, and the Son upholds and bearing all things by his word. And it is all a matter of speaking. Speaking what? Speaking the word of God. Amen. When the Lord speaks, everything is in order. This is just a very brief way. You know, the whole universe today is actually, it came about by God speaking.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. How was he created? By speaking. He spoke, it was.
Amen.
He commanded, it stood. Let there be light. There is light.
Amen.
Let there be. And then it came into being. Now, today, this is, you may say, in the physical side, but even our personal daily side, our supply mainly through God speaking. Even all the environment is applied, is arranged by his speaking. You know, we talk about this matter of the wind. The wind listen to the Lord. If it's really, really bad wind, the Lord will calm it. Remember the disciples, when they rowed the boat, tried from one side to the other side, it's a storm, right? And then all the disciples was what? Very afraid. Lord, wake up. We're perishing. The Lord wake up and so forth, commanded the wind, be calm. It was calm. And so forth. So yesterday, fellowship is good. The wind have many different kinds. Actually, breathing is a wind also. The Lord many times, you know, is the wind comes, and then means what? He's breathing into you, bringing his spirit, bringing his word, breathing into us to be our supply. And certainly, many times they say stormy wind, this environment causes us to turn to the Lord. Lord, save us. We're perishing.
Amen.
We call on the name of the Lord.
Right.
We turn to him. Certainly, that's one side. In other words, the wind really means the Lord arranged all the situations, both very soothing ones to encourage us, to nourish us, to cherish us, and also sometimes bring in the stormy wind also to wake us up, to cause us to think, Lord, I need you. All kinds. That's our environment. Right? Environment has many different kinds. Many times the Lord will arrange a situation, really, really nourish you, cherish you. As you are looking up something, all of a sudden the Lord arranges something, really cherish you. One time my wife gave a testimony. She was so busy, so she didn't have even time to eat. So she said, oh, well, I'm going to go hungry. And then, just by arrangement, and then another saint, just at that time, give her something to eat. And they said, oh, the Lord is feeding me. The Lord is feeding me. I didn't have time, but the Lord cared for me. That's what, that's also the Lord's doing, to cherish us. Really shows that he cares for us. And then this brooding, you know, the cloud is that he's overshadowing, supplying us, you know. The cloud... I have many, many meetings. I don't have the time to get into that. And the fire has many different kinds also. negative side burn away from all the negative things. Positive side also supplying us, warming us, give us the light, give us the warmth, and so forth, right? So all this for one purpose, that is to constitute us with this divine nature. That's the purpose. So in all these things, we have to see that the Word is the fundamental because God Himself is the Word.
Amen.
So when you're young, you know, I really regret, well, I should not say regret, in a way, because all the time is arranged by the Lord. You know, I was very happy, at least I got saved when I was a freshman. If I got saved earlier, probably better, but on the other hand, I don't have whatever I have experienced. So every situation, every your situation, most of you are grow up in the church life, I do encourage you, you know, seize the opportunity. Especially when you're young, your memory is much, much better. Get the Word into you. You will become a constant store of supply there. The more you have it, the more the Lord can pull it out from you, and then make the logos that you store in you become rima, become instant supply to you. You know, this part is very important. We need the logos, the constant word. And let me explain a bit about these things. If we only have the logos, that is the constant explanation and so forth, the word into you, that's very good, but usually not good enough. Because this is sort of like, I'm not saying this is, I'm just using the illustration, is that the God who speak the word created the whole universe now. But then how is this universe going to relate it to you? And then that means what? He has to still constantly supply it, apply it to you. And then that becomes a rhema. And then that becomes applied to you. Now today, you may say, through the Logos, we got saved. We do have a life in us. But how is this life enjoyed by us, become real to us, rather than, oh, I know it, but really, I cannot enjoy it. And then for that, we have to exercise our spirit. Because it's the word I speak unto you, they are spirit. And that only the spirit can touch the spirit and make the connection,
right,
conducting into us. So for that, we have to apply it to all our situations. Amen. Okay, about a few more minutes, we'll be at 10:15. Okay, I give a little bit, just a few minutes, my testimony. Okay, as I said, I was saved when I was in college as a freshman, the first semester. And then after that, the first summer, we have in three localities, and then they have a joint, young people, junior high school, and the college student joined a conference in a college campus. And then that's the first conference I went, and that's about, I would say, 6 months, or no, about 5 months after I was baptized. And in that conference, only one topic is called consecration. Entire week, 6 days, every day is on this topic, consecration. From every aspect of the consecration, from judicial side, up, you know, the organic side, and all these, every aspect. So on the last day, Saturday, I still remember, it's a give opportunity for anyone who wants to consecrate yourself to the Lord. You can come out to have a public consecration and testimony the entire day. And I still remember, you know, the scene is still vivid in my mind. So I did consecrate myself to the Lord.
Amen.
Now, consecration means the following. You know, in our youthful and not knowing too much, and then we want to do something for the Lord. I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm not saying this is bad. But that's good as a motivation. But the real meaning of the consecration is this. I transfer the ownership.
Right. Right.
Lord, I'm not my own. Amen. I belong to you. Right. You make all arrangements. I will just follow you. I will just follow you. If you want me to do this, I'll do it. If you don't want me to do that, no problem. I just do whatever you want to do. I don't make my choice anymore. But this does not mean that we become passive. This does not mean that we become inactive. No, no, no. Nothing of that sort. We still need to be attracted, constantly soar, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
And then we are very, very active, positive to pursue the Lord. And also doing whatever we do is that we are doing in the Lord.
Amen.
So, actually, as you know, I was a student. So therefore, my study becomes what? Not I study. Lord, I study one with you now. So that is what, actually, that's actually very good. It's not that, Lord, I just wait, today should I study or not? You already made me a student, right? So that's actually assign me that thing. So therefore, I do it 100% to the ability that I can.
Amen.
Lord, I'm one with you.
Amen.
So later on, I have to say this. This consecration laid a very good foundation for me for all the life and from that day till today. In your human life, you have to make many decisions. You know, I know some of you are senior here, right? You have to make a decision. Where are you going to go to college? You know, you may have several admissions. Which one do you choose? And so forth. You still have to make a decision. A lot of decisions to be made. What major are you going to do? Later on, you study this, you may want to change the major or not, and so forth, so on. And then after your graduation, what are you going to do? Are you going to training, full-time training? Are you going to further study in graduate school or whatever? And later on, you certainly have your marriage, children, career, whatever. All these things, for me, it laid good foundations that, Lord, all these things I already consecrated to you. Because the consecration, in a way, there's no partial consecration. Right. You cannot say, as an offering to the Lord, Lord, I offer a leg, put on the altar, the rest of my part I will stay myself. You just cannot do that. So therefore, saints, consecrate yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Means your entire being. I belong to you now. Whatever I'm doing, direct me. I just want to be well-pleasing to you.
Amen.
And I can tell you, this is the foundation and the base of all the blessing.
Amen.
You'll be joyful, you'll be peaceful. Sometimes the things may not go the way you want. Many times I have a certain intention, even good intention, even serving the Lord intention. Say, well, if I do this, if I pick this job, things will be, I can serve you better, I have more time, and so forth. The Lord actually may not take you that way, may take you some other ways. Outwardly, it seems to be harder. May not be, as my natural concept says, better way to serve the Lord. But time passed, you're looking back. Actually, only the Lord knows us. Only the Lord knows what's going to happen tomorrow. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now. We don't know. But the Lord knows.
Amen.
So every time in this situation, my prayer is, the Lord, please remember, I consecrate myself to you.
Amen.
You make all the arrangement. Even though I have intention, maybe this and that, but Lord, not my way, but your way.
Amen.
I belong to you. Whatever you arrange, I'll be very, very happy and thankful. And many times, the students doesn't go that way, and then I may sort of frustrate a bit, but only temporary. As my time goes on, every time when I look back, I say, Lord, I worship you.
Yeah.
If I go my way, it's actually turned out what you want arranged may not be accomplished. The Lord loving us. He's the all-knowing and all-loving God. He knows every one of us. He wants us to be fully blessed by him, be useful for him. We just trust in him, consecrate ourselves to him, do what it will be, what is well-pleasing to him, and our whole life will be very, very much blessed. Amen. Amen. The time is up here. What are we going to do? Okay, maybe we have a short prayer, maybe with your neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay, amen. 2 by 2. Amen.
So we will have our break now until, let's see, what time is it? 10:45. Okay, so we should come back at 10:45. And so during the break time, like what our brother mentioned, the next session will be a question and response time. Maybe some of you are not familiar with this format. Basically, we'll be fielding your questions. So any sort of question regarding your going on in the church life, questions concerning what you heard this weekend, you could just write them out. You don't need to include your name, but we would ask to write whether or not you're a sister or brother and what grade you're in. So you just write your question, brother, sister, and then what grade. And then you could put it in this box here. You could fold it up. It's anonymous. And do this during this break time, okay? And then another reminder for the saints who have cars, please do not double park at the parking lot. There are probably some spots further up the hill. Fill up those spots. You could go down past the dumpster, park on the grass, but don't double park. Don't block anybody because people need to be going in and out. We have some saints who are leaving, and the saints who are serving, they also will need to be in and out. Okay, and I believe that is it. So let's take our break and be back for our next session. 10:45.